presentation. Chair, firstly, I'd like to pass on the apologies from the leadership from the department. What we'd like to do is to present just we had to do on the APP. And these were brought upon, Chair, with regards to a revised model. Next slide, please. I'd like to just give the background framework to just indicate that when we now acknowledge that we are actually midway in terms of the MTSF, and we needed to make sure that we prioritize those targets that will also support other programs within the MTSF. I'll give you an example, Chair, that I think under COVID, we saw the enormous strain of ensuring that as a country, we cannot still do without connectivity. So initially, while this project was planned on over a 10-year period, we then had to revise our SA Connect to ensure that we're able to achieve 80% broadband connectivity by 2024. Equally, Chairs, you would know that there was an announcement with regards to the broadcasting digital migration, and it was going to spill over to 2023, and we then had to bring it forward in as far as concluding on the broadcasting digital migration. There was also part of then ensuring that you do broadband rollout, and with regards to the spectrum auctioning that was successfully concluded, we need to ensure that we also have a rapid deployment guideline as well as policy in place to then ease the burden with regards to access to infrastructure to enable then a rapid deployment. And it's based on these, Chair, that we thought we needed to change our APP target. Equally, Chair, I must also indicate that the environment has still remained difficult for us in as far as the dependencies. And we've seen, for example, I think the Office of the Chief State Law Advisors, they were under enormous constraint under the COVID as they had to prioritize in the main the disaster management provisions as well as acts, and therefore there were delays with regards to our own bills amendments, and therefore we needed to ensure that we look at their revision. And then lastly, we took cognizance of the fact that as a country, whilst we want to raise investment, we needed to ensure that we do not provide confusion with regards to our international investors and potential partners. And therefore, we took the decision to say we will reconfigure how then our investment lobbying is, and rather collaborate with the presidency, the DTIC, in as far as the hosting of the SA Investment Conference. So, Chair, these provisional changes in the APP, we have factored them in. I would like to also indicate that the success of our revision in terms of the strategy, our approach, as well as the targets themselves, meant that we are revising down the targets from 41 APP targets to 35 in the main. And with that, Chair, I would like to take the select committee through then the changes that we have made in greater details. May I then ask if we could move to the next slide, please? I will talk in greater details with regards to the business case, but these are the ones, as I said, that also rely heavily with regards to that we needed to get the concurrence of the National Treasury, DPSA, and also the State Law Advisors, and therefore that those led to a delay with regards to that. The approach, as I said, with regards to SA Connect, as well as the broadband digital migration, broadcasting digital migration, my apologies, are then the revised targets that I will also talk to in the actual details of the presentation. Next slide. So if then I could just quickly highlight in as far as the various outcome, with regards to the first outcome on transformed digital society, the original target was speaking to the operationalization of the BRICS Institute for Future Networks, which we were facilitating. Honorable members, in this regard, we had identified CSIR as the temporal designated entity. However, CSIR came to us with a bill of 23 million in the first year, and then in the outer years, looking at a 41 million operational budget, to which then this was not allocated in our budget. We then required us to have a revised strategy in the approach. I'm happy to indicate that we are collaborating with our state-owned entities, but we also had the University of KwaZulu-Natal as well as UJ coming on board, then offering to say, in as far as the artificial intelligence, they are willing to collaborate with the department, that is UJ, and the broadband infrastructure rollout as well as cybersecurity, UKZN will work with our implementing entities in as far as the coordination of that work. So the target has now been revised. And then similarly, as I spoke about the ICT investment conference, what we then talk about is ICT investment initiatives that will contribute to the ICT investment conference. I'm happy to indicate, Chair, there that we had a successful ICT investment forum where our stakeholders came on board and they indicated their various initiatives in as far as expansion of digital infrastructure in the country, as well as building on the platform industries and also the digital technology. Next slide. The next outcome targets speak to an enabling digital transformation. And these basically, from the department's perspective, is formulating the relevant policies as well as strategies that will be responsive in terms of the new environment. In this regard, honorable members, the South African Post Office Amendment Bill, initially, this was supposed to have been submitted to Cabinet for introductions to Parliament. And as I indicated, that due to the delays that we encountered, what we then revised was to say in the first year, we are going to submit and engage extensively within government as well as the relevant entities. And then we'll submit this to Cabinet for public consultation. With regards to the data and the cloud policy, in terms of its approval as well as monitoring, this has been what the revised target talks to, the data and cloud policy being developed as well as being submitted effectively so. There's no changes with regards to the business. In fact, on the business case for the regulatory bill, the approach that we took was then to say, let us get the inputs from the relevant entities. In our space, honorable members, we've got three entities in the regulators who are dealing with regulatory oversight. This is namely the ICASA, the FPB, as well as .zna, which is the registry. We've requested inputs from them towards then the formulation of the business case. But we felt that this work, whilst it is critical as part of the reform of government, because of the extensive external dependencies, both in terms of the regulatory reform, the other bill that also talks to the state digital infrastructure as well as the state digital services, we then felt that it was important that perhaps we then put that work within the business plan and not necessarily within the operational plan. So we are working with our state-owned entities together, also consulting the Department of Public Enterprises, who are then the main custodians driving the issues of the reform of our state-owned entities. The implementation of the digital economy master plan. This one, what we've got an integrated report on the digital master digital economy programs that have that we're developing. In this coming financial year, honourable members, we then decided that prior to us talking about or formulating the digital economy master plan, we need to conceptualize it through a framework, a country framework. So there is now going to be a new target in the new APP that then talks to the formulation of an overarching countrywide digital economy framework. And then on the ICT SMME, the cabinet took, cluster took a decision to then say there is no need for, because this is the work within our terrain and mandated powers being mandated to the minister, and therefore it only lies within approval by the Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies. So the revised target then talks to, instead of it being submitted to cabinet, is that it will be submitted, and it has been submitted to the minister for approval. There is ongoing work, honourable members, on the cost to communicate. Owing to the issue of the spectrum auctioning that had taken place, we then thought that, and we're introducing new social obligations to the operators, that this work then would defer it, and we would look at rather the monitoring of those social obligations together with ICASA in the new financial year. On the white paper on audio and audiovisual content, because this is the work that is mandated to the minister as then the cabinet executive, we then had to revise it as such to then say it's the minister, as it will be for the minister's approval. The ECA amendment bill, similarly, because there's still quite a number of extensive areas of the amendment bill, instead of us then submitting portions and parts of the amendment, for now we then took the decision that the ECA amendment bill will be submitted to the minister until such time that all other areas within the amendment bill and have been factored into, and then we will submit a holistic revised ECA to cabinet. Then for onward transmission. And then similarly, there was, as you would know, we agreed and there was an adopted country report on the 4IR, and we were tasked therefore to come up with a strategic implementation plan. And this implementation plan has been developed and has been submitted to the minister. Owing to the fact that the actual implementation of it is being done by the relevant departments, entities, and structures, ours then going forward would be just to monitor those programs and then submit an update. We do provide, honourable members, just for your assurance, a quarterly update to the government cluster in terms of the DG's foresight as well as the DG's clusters. But we rely therefore on those relevant government departments and entities to submit the progress report in their respective areas. We've introduced, as I indicated earlier, a new target in as far as the digital transformation policies. This is one of the key reforms of government, and it's actually one of the priorities that have been listed under the presidency as well as Operations Vulindlela. And this is the rapid deployment policy. And this we therefore have introduced as a new target in our APP, and work has already commenced. The rapid deployment policy has been finalized and has been submitted to the minister. The next slide, please. On the next outcome, third outcome on the increased access to secure digital infrastructure, honourable members, We had three targets related to the SA Connect or Connecting South Africa. And these were basically looking at the funding, sourcing funding for the phase two, looking at establishing therefore afterwards a project management office for the SA Connect phase two. And then we were also going to look at exploring various funding options in as far as ensuring connectivity to the households or to communities. We had done extensive work in this regard, and we came up with a revised SA Connect model. This was submitted to Cabinet. This was part of the reason why that led to us having to revise our APP, because in the approved Cabinet model and implementation plan, the department therefore remains then the authority in as far as executing, and we've also established a steering committee instead of a project management office. And that steering committee is actually led by the minister and convenes therefore the meetings in as far as monitoring the execution of the SA Connect phase two. So the target has been revised, and we basically compressed the three elements into one. Then on the operations of the Digital Transformation Center, honorable members, you will recall that in 2018, we undertook to commit to establish a Digital Transformation Center. This is basically a point where we're going to build in terms of our capabilities. But owing to when we then reflected in as far as the work that is being done, more especially by the CSIR in terms of the WEF4IR Center, we then took the decision to say that as government, owing to the limited resources that we have, we should not duplicate and therefore exhaust our resources, and we should channel it into one. So the department is collaborating with DSI as well as CSIR in as far as coordinating the work under the WEF4IR. Honorable members, once again, under the Broadcasting Digital Migration Program, we had two targets in the department, and these were related to installation as well as then ensuring that the indigenous households receive the necessary device. But initially we said it was a voucher that will enable them to go and get the necessary device. We then looked at the model itself and came up with a revised implementation model for the broadcasting digital migration. And in this regard, we agreed that for the target, we needed to look at the APP target. And because we had agreed on a model that will say consist of a private and public partnership, but also at the time, as you would know also, that there was a dispute between the ETV and the Minister of Communications, we could only be responsible for then what we were in control of, and it was what the SABC sites. And therefore, the target was then revised to then say it's a switch off of analog television transmitters coordinated across all provinces, and these were mainly in reference to the SABC site. There is no new or revised targets under the outcome, the last outcome of the high performing portfolio to enable the achievement of the respective mandates. They remain the same. Next slide, please. And as I indicated, honorable members, what is then the outcome of the revised APP is that we now have 35 targets instead of the 41 targets. And these are basically expanded on in terms of outcome one on the digital transformation policy and strategies. In total, we have 13 targets. I think the outer slides speak to that. Outcome two will have 5 APP targets, whilst outcome three on the digital transformed society has 4. And then the high performing portfolio then only has 13 APP targets, which basically no changes were made to them. With your permission, Honorable Chair, I'm going to request that we skip over the next slides because they basically are still therefore reiterate what I had highlighted earlier. And then I'm going to ask the CFO, Ms. Joy Masemulla, to then take us through the financial information. Thank you.
Thank you, ADG. Honorable members, good evening. I will take you through the adjusted budget over the MTIF. Chair, the adjustment budget was adjusted to 8 billion for 2021-22 financial year. It was coming from the initial budget of 3.6 billion. So there were an additional 3.9 million that was allocated to the compensation of employees for salary adjustments, as well as the 200 million allocated under the goods and services for the broadband access fund from the presidential employment stimulus funds. Next slide. And then, Chair, these are the transfers that have been allocated to the entities. And during the adjustment budget, the department realized some savings, and then we transferred those savings of 15 million to SAPO to assist SAPO with the financial pressures that they are currently facing. So there's also towards the end of the financial year, we also did the very same exercise to ensure that at least we assist SAPO in this regard. So the total of the transfers, Chair, amounted to 2.9 billion. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Chair, I would like to hand back to you. Thank you.
Thank you for a presentation. Colleagues, this is the presentation. Honorable Modise. Honorable Arnott.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. On the slide, the last slide, when the CFO was presented, she mentioned that they transfer money to SAPO towards the end of financial year. Why they are transferring money towards the financial year? Because if they send them, I mean, transfer money on time, the SAPO will be able to run the errands of their entity, especially like she mentioned, that SAPO had a serious crisis, a serious problems that are occurring in that post offices. Now, if they are sending it, it looks like they didn't spend. Now it's a physical dumping to SAPO. What are they going to do? Because if it's already late, what they are going to do with the money? Because that money, it will end up being taken back to National Treasury, because they are not going to use it unless they can tell us that that money before they transferred it, SAPO had committed that money. Thank you very much, Chair. For now, I'll come back later.
Thank you, Honorable Modise. Honorable Arnott.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry for not putting on my video. Chairperson, yes, thank you for the presentation on the revised 2021-22 annual plan of the department. Chairperson, I want to do a follow-up on this 15 million that was identified from savings, because if 15 million was identified, we want to know where, because somewhere a project has to be not been attended to in terms of the 15 million. So we need to find out in terms of the savings where that 15 million came from. I didn't hear properly, so maybe they can just give us clarity in terms of that. And then the other thing is, Chairperson, it is nothing, there's no problem to come with a revised targets. That's fine. But why are the department now coming to us and say that the revised ICT SMME development strategy is going to be submitted now to the minister? Previously, it was the cabinet. Was they not aware that they don't have to go to cabinet? It can only go through the minister, and so is it for all the other policies and strategies that is now being revised. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, DG. Also address the issue of some immediate challenges that you think you want to bring to the attention of us as the relevant committee, so that we must not rely on the snippets that are on the media taking advantage of this opportunity. But let me afford you the opportunity to respond to the question, DG.
No, Chair, before that, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Dise.
No, this thing of switching off from digital to analog, I just want to know, did they inform all the communities one day their TV, not recently, because recently, yes, I can hear the ministers talking and talking. What about people that are in the rural area that sometimes they don't even have TVs? I mean, they don't even listen to the news. Sometimes they just look the... they don't have time for news. They just look for something in the on TV, but not news. Are those people, they were informed about switching off? If they are no, or the other thing, because even if they can look at the news, sometimes the news are. They were speaking in their English language, and our oldies, they don't understand English. Some of them, they don't understand English or other language. Did they make sure that they go down to the rural area? They teach them what are they going to do? I mean, what is this transitioning from analog to this thing to switch off? And they know about it. So my worry is most of the community, when we, for example, when we do our constituencies, when you tell them about the switching off, they don't understand what are we talking about. So what did the department do to inform the community?
Thank you, Honorable Dise. DG, the issue of analog to digital. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you to the Honorable Members. And I'm glad that we have an opportunity, Chair, just to also clarify some of the issues that are in the environment. Honorable Modisa, the first question if I may respond, the transfer that the CFO was referring to was over and above the normal transfer. This was a request from SAPO, owing to the financial crisis that SAPO was in. It is of knowledge that SAPO is owing its debtors. And in fact, there was then obviously threats with regards to some of the post offices being closed, and also the owing of the two other statutory bodies, which were also critical in the main, namely SARS, I think it was, the medical aid, pension fund, as well as the telecom in terms of the connectivity. So this transfer was an over and above additional request. And so we've then made that particular transfer. The savings, Honorable Arnold, I want to give an assurance that this was savings from your goods and services. In the main, it was from travel, as well as other areas that I think the CFO can come in. And so, because we've been on lockdown, as you would know, so our traveling has been restricted. Unfortunately, the circumstances that happened also in Parliament meant that we were having our meetings virtual. So these were costs that were calculated that we knew were normal. But then in the midst of then both COVID, as well as I said, the unfortunate incident that took place in Parliament, it resulted therefore in these savings that we could then reallocate and to assist SAPO. So I just want to give the assurance that it is certainly not fiscal dumping. Then the issues with regards to the other question that Honorable Arnold asked about, whether when did we know? Chair, the processes for us is that when we're going to do a changes either in a policy or a strategy, in the previously, as you would know, hence we took the assumption of saying that we take it to cabinet. But there are governance structures that we have to take it through, mainly, as I said, under foresight, which is then the clusters. It is at the cluster level that we will be informed then that the colleagues will say, no, this does not have an impact with regards to either another particular government department, or secondly, if it is about the request for additional funding, there is a separate process that one has to undertake at the budgetary process, and we must just consult National Treasury. So we were then redirected to then say this particular, these strategies and policies, owing to the fact that all of them are basically reintroduction. ICT, the ICT SMME strategy was already adopted in 2018, and therefore these are just mere refinement and improvements to that. And then similarly to the others, that it was then we were then being redirected to then say we should rather the minister signs off on it, and especially if at all in the terms of the consultation or the drafting, we did consult the relevant department and they were satisfied as such. Chair, the issue with regards to the BDM, and I welcome the question by Honorable Modise. Honorable Modise, the awareness program, community awareness and program that we undertook, I think it dates back as far as at the commencement of the project around 2008. We established various forums or steering committees that involved all the broadcasters, that involved even civil society, because we needed to have the representative of them. But subsequently thereafter, we took the same acknowledgement and cognizance of the fact that the people who are going to be most affected are your households or the individuals. So we've been on the awareness program since 2014, my apologies. We started off by working with COCDA, in as far as working with the EPW members, as well as the SALGA and the councillors. So, and we ran out of funds in as far as the funding of the EPW, but we then employed what we call our district coordinators. We have about 44 on the ground, and they basically have been moving from one province to the other in as far as also channeling this. But in with also additionally, the department wrote to each province. We requested, we had numerous engagements and forums with each province. We asked them, this was channeled through the Office of the Premier. And then we asked that as and when we convene the meetings, they must bring with them the relevant officials in terms of either, whether it's going to be economic development or the arts and culture. And then additionally, we also requested that they must bring on the municipality representative, as well as managers across all the municipalities that they have in that particular. So it actually zoomed all the way down beyond even district based. And then additionally, our communications packages and information. We held posters at SAPO. We also dished out individual pamphlets. We did this at schools, at the post offices. And we also ensured, because we needed to ensure that it's inclusive, we did them in all 11 languages. And the communication that we've been broadcasting in the community radio stations, whether it's going to be through the adverts, as we said, we asked them to read out these posters. We identified the languages spoken in a particular community and ensured that the broadcast was sufficiently covering all of them. We also procured segments within radio in terms of the talk show to then really go into details, speaking about the BDM project as well. Over and above that, prior to us switching off, the broadcasters have been running what we call the CG messaging, which is basically the messaging that runs at the bottom of the screen. And they've also been doing advertisements that will then inform communities that the country is switching off. Those who are qualifying should therefore go to the post office for registration. And subsequently, we've refined that model to then even introduced a zero-rated app where one can go into a website and actually register wherever they're at, and it is at the no charge. We also ran with the mobile operators, and I must show appreciations to them. We actually sent out SMS messages to the free to hold. In fact, it was to all the the pay as you go individuals. Apologies, I was trying to find the correct word. So we gave out messages. The messages were running every 2 weeks, and there was a point in time where we increased the number, especially during the period when we were actually under lockdown, and we noted that it was conflicting with obviously the COVID messages that were also running and also being sent out. But we continued to send out those messages in as far as for those prepaid subscribers, and just to inform them again to then say we're switching off and providing the two alternatives. This then was over and above when the minister came in. She held monthly briefings where she was also updating the communities and giving them various options as to how and where, one, if you do not qualify, where you can go and get a decoder or to register. And for those who are qualifying indigenous households, where then they should go in terms of registration. Our registration, honorable members, in fact, during this period, we initially had 1.1, just over close to 1.2, and it increased to 1.4 registered people who expressed interest in that. And that is what we've been doing in terms of rolling out the subsidized decoders across the provinces. The part of the revised model, the minister then agreed, set up a steering committee that consisted of all the broadcasters, both free to air as well as your commercial broadcasters. The model was then to say, even those commercial broadcasters, if they were to to catch any indigenous or households, we will then cross-subsidize them. And then even the installers, we increased the number of installers working with both commercial as well as private. Centec has gone out on an increased drive in order to ensure. And this is one of the areas that I would like to commend, because we talk about the local empowerment. The installers, we were very deliberate working with the communities as well as the councillors to say, give us a database of your local installers, because we really want to ensure that the community benefits. And we've captured a database of over 8,900 installers across the country. This was still opened again in terms of, because when we now move into provinces, then you would see an interest as people are driving in and installing to then say, where can I get, where can I go and register, who qualifies, and even the installers, where can I go as I'm interested in terms of benefiting from this project. And therefore, that was still open in terms of the installers up until I left to check, but Monday it was still open. And then the registration itself, for those who still would like, is still open, honorable members. The principle has been that anyone who comes in to register, we would still then, if you qualify, we'll provide you with the device or the set-top box, and it will come and be installed in your house. The only slight difference is that those who registered or who had registered before the 31st of October, they would be installed prior to switch off. However, those who registered post 31st October, meaning from the 1st of November last year, we still commit and to say that they will be provided with a set-top box. Perhaps then it will be a period of 3 to 6 months, depending on where you're at in the country. But in certain other provinces, for example, where we've already done extensive work. I know, for example, in Mpumalanga, those who are still with, even just said, I've registered 2 weeks ago, that was in November, they have now received their device. So we've done the switch off in the 5 provinces. We still have 4 provinces remaining. Then we need to come to the court case. ETV had put towards the court, honorable members, to then say the number of households or indigenous people households qualify or who are free to air. They were disputing that particular number. Secondly, they're saying then there's potentially more indigenous households than the numbers that we have. And we've said to our arguments in court was, until such, we cannot base it on assumption. We've done this program. The information is there in the post office. We've done the public awareness on numerous platforms, as I said, reaching them through mobile, reaching them through the radio, and reaching them through other awareness programs, working with the community leaders. And until such time that the people come forward, we cannot work on an assumption, because it would be fruitless expenditure, honorable members, if we went and we procured the 2.5 million devices at 1,200 rands each, and then they would be sitting in the Sapo warehouse or in a store somewhere, and government will then have to incur the burden of that if then we don't have the recipients. As such, the court dismissed the ETV's case in that matter. The court also then indicated that owing to the fact that we were still doing the installation in the other provinces and looking at the time factor, because it was supposed to be, the switch off was supposed to be in end of this month, which would have been tomorrow. They then afforded the minister three months maximum period for then to ramp up the outstanding 500 or less, which is less now, indigenous households that we needed to ensure that we install. And then they gave the go-ahead that the switch off can then commence end of June. And therefore, the ETV case was then dismissed and dismissed with cost. They had to pay for 50% cost for the minister's legal representative, and then 100% for the cost for ICASA, as well as the chairperson of ICASA, as well as Vodacom, who was then a party supporting the minister. So, honourable members, I just want to indicate that this program, as you would all know, has been in existence in South Africa, in fact, since 2004, where we committed to then be part of the group that would switch off by 2012. It was then shifted to 2015. South Africa never applied. As a department, we always consult extensively with the broadcasters or anyone owing spectrum. We have a spectrum forum. We convene quarterly sessions, even during, in between periods of what we call the World Radio Conference. So prior to 2015, South Africa had an opportunity to indicate if it was not going to meet the ITU deadline. The implications have been vast, honorable members. Outside of the loss that we've had in as far as the country moving forward, in as far as the digital transformation, we are sitting still at a risk that if there's an interference with, in terms of signal frequencies with any of our neighbors, we are forced to actually shut down our frequencies in the country until such time that we're able to resolve and there's no interference. So you can imagine the magnitude of this in as far as also other services that are requiring this frequency. And then lastly, now that the auctioning has proceeded, these spectrum bands, as the regulator has indicated, are no longer basically owned by the broadcasters. They've been given a three-month period up until end of June for them then to bring back, not that they won't have, but they will be reallocated the bands in according and in uniformity with the rest of Africa and as well as the rest of Region 1, to which then we agreed to. And all the parties, including ETV, has been actively participating in our spectrum engagements in the department as a country. And also they've been participating in the steering committee that has been led by the minister. It was rather unfortunate that it led to that it was taken to the courts. But now that we have then the court ruling and outcome, we then hope that all parties will then concede and agree then to what then the terms and the conditions that the court has set forward. That is the main issue that in terms of the mediate. As a department, would like to commit to then say our teams remain being on the ground. The installations are continuing. We are still working with the SABC in as far as it's the SABC that will give us the go-ahead as to when then the transmitting sites are being switched off. That has always been the model and the formula. The SABC was the one that gave us the go-ahead in terms of switching off on the five provinces that we've switched off. And we're therefore also, once we've reached the particular threshold in as far as the agreement, then they will give us the signal to switch off in the remaining provinces. Honourable members, Honourable Chair, I'd like to end there and hand back to you. Thank you.
Thank you, TG. CFO, the issue of transfers.
Yes, thank you, Honourable Chair. Chair, I would like to re-emphasize and also what the acting DG has indicated regarding the fiscal dumping, just to indicate that this is not the case of fiscal dumping because on the 15 million, the exercise of identifying the savings commenced even before the conclusion of the adjustment budget. So the letter from SAPO was received before though that process. So that's why then we also needed to get the approval of National Treasury to increase the transfers on the transfers to SAPO so that this money can be paid to SAPO. So the 15 million to SAPO was paid in January. And then also on the second phase now of identifying the savings, that exercise commenced in December, following the when we projected the budget or in the expenditure due to the change in direction, as the ADG has indicated, some of the projects could not continue. Therefore, there were savings that were realized from those projects, as well as before COVID, there were the budget under travel and accommodation would be fully utilized by the department. But now we noticed that during COVID, then there were huge savings under travel and accommodation due to the restrictions. So then we also needed to get the approval of National Treasury to also increase the transfers so that those funds can be transferred to support to assist with the financial pressures. So it is not an exercise that we started recently. We have been working on this, considering the financial pressures that are faced by SAPO. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CFO. Thank you, DG. Colleagues, this is the revised plan from the department. I don't know whether, DG, you deliberately decided to avoid the question of things that you can share with us instead of relying on the media that the public domain, or you want the minister to lead when it comes to those issues. I'll give you that opportunity. That's the only thing that I think you left out when you're dealing with all the questions. Otherwise, you have answered all questions asked by other members. DG?
Thank you, Chair. I'm not so sure which matter is in the environment. Perhaps you could just kindly
Is the issue of SABC and what has been submitted as plans to Parliament and the meeting that has to happen with the department so that those things can be corrected? I thought you were going to share with us so that we have a better understanding.
Okay. No, thank you, Chair. I did touch on the issue briefly, but the minister on the 7th or late on the 7th received a letter from the SABC to which then the SABC was highlighting concerns that they had within as far as the revenue loss. The minister responded to then seek clarity as to what they mean by revenue loss, because in our, as you would also would have, in our the submissions that the SABC makes quarterly, as well as the we have a monthly turnaround meeting with them, it was reflected that the revenue loss was actually even prior to us switching off. The revenue lost by the SABC was experienced in 2020 from September, October until December. It picked up in December, but then it declined again in January. And we only started the switch off, honorable members, in November, December, January. And therefore, it was outside of that period that they were claiming. So the minister, out of concern, sought clarity from the SABC and also then highlighted to them that in the engagements that we've had with them, there was a strategy which the department was at the forefront and spearheaded it to then say, how do we reposition the SABC in the digital once we've migrated? And what are then the opportunities? And in that regard, we sought to request we made some applications to National Treasury for example that the SABC can be exonerated in terms of the PFMA. And that request with strong motivation from us, we received a favorable response from National Treasury. And then the minister waited. The SABC to the minister issued a public, the minister's letter was sent on the 24th. The morning of the 25th, SABC issued a statement and publicly then indicating that they're not participating in terms of the switch off, and they subsequently also wrote to CENTEC instructing them on the same. It came as a shock, and also subsequent thereafter, parts or areas where the minister was being cited were then in the public domain, honorable members. And the minister and the department review this as a breach in terms of the relations between the two. I think then the minister, honorable chair and honorable members, maybe if another opportunity arises, can then articulate this. But our main concern at the moment is if then the SABC remains resolute in terms of their statement, then it means there's a disjuncture, honorable members, in as far as the annual reports that we have been tabled, or the quarterly as well as annual reports that have been tabled. And the minister had then written to the speaker as well as the chair, just to caution to say, there is this particular matter that is being dealt with. The minister is still going to sit with the SABC to clarify the matter, but just so that the minister is not being seen, as she's the one who tabled this report, as misleading parliament, then she would like to provisionally withdraw the annual and the quarterly reports that the SABC has tabled until such time that there is proper clarity and that the SABC is able then to also clarify their position in terms of what they meant in the letter to the minister about the revenue loss.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, DJ. Thank you. We always say in the absence of such information, those perceptions will become reality. So that is why we thought it would be good for us to share with us as the relevant committee so that you are able to understand what's going on. Colleagues, this is the situation in terms of the revised plan. We've asked questions. The department has clarified us when it comes to all the questions that we have asked. Not unless there's any other thing that is missing, I think we...
Chairperson?
Honorable Arnott?
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to find out if we... if the committee can also be provided with a detailed report, it can be a written response also in terms of the distribution of the 3.2 million vouchers and then also the 970 broadband sites, if the committee can be provided with a report on that, Chairperson. Thank you. A detailed
thank you. I don't think there'll be any problem. Honorable Modiso, you're fine. Allow me, honorable members, to take this opportunity to thank you, DG. We know that honorable members, we've got our own program. It's a provincial week. We're assessing the state capacity to provide services to different communities. But be that as it may, we decided that it will be in order for us to get the revised plan from the department. That is why the meeting is at this time. We thank you, DG, and your team for being able to be part of this meeting. Not unless, let me start with you, DG, for your parting shots.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the honourable members, and thank you very much for also accommodating us in for us then to be able to table the revised plan. And we really truly appreciate. Thank you, and Chair, we will provide the detailed report as requested by Honourable Arnold. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Thank you for availing your team in this awkward hour. We know that it's hectic now. A lot of things are happening. But with that as it may, you decided to avail your team and present the revised plan to the committee. Honorable members, thanks for availing yourself and participating in this very important meeting of the Select Committee. Otherwise, I now officially declared the meeting closed. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Papa.
Thank you, Mama.
Recording stopped.